Blog Talk Radio.
Salutations, Night Zoners. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs. Welcome to a very special edition of the Night Zone. Christmas 2008. Happy Hanukkah. Over the last year, we have had some great guests bringing amazing information to the show. From John Hogue of Hogue Prophecy, who kicked off our year with his special brand of future visions, or Dr. Ian O'Neill. His understanding of cosmic flares and solar winds, or possibly Tim McHyde and Bible prophecy. What about Marshall Masters and the Lost Tears from the Planet X forecast? Lots of great guests and so much information to digest. Remember, all of our shows are available in archive at blogtalkradio.com. Just look for the Terror Chat Show. I'm sure you'll find it out there. We have a great show tonight. Season's greetings.
You are listening to Terror Chat, the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com. This is a live event.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs, welcome to Terror Chat, thinking outside of the box. This is the Night Zone. My name is Colin Knight. It's a pleasure to be here tonight.
This is Chris Holly from Endless Journey and the Night Zone, wishing everyone a wonderful Christmas holiday season and a happy new year. We wish all of you Christmas blessings, happy holidays, and an adventure-packed 2009. Merry, merry, everyone.
Ho, 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 merry!
This is Terror Chat. In the Night Zone. Call it on. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs. Welcome to the Night Zone. This is an unscheduled live broadcast because, frankly, we just didn't have enough time on the last show with Chris Holly to say our thank yous and our appreciations to all of our friends out there. So I have online with me tonight, Chris Holly. That's, of course, his Blog Talk Behaves Itself and releases Chris's on hold button. There we go. Thank you, Blog Talk.
We wouldn't be complete without you at Christmas time, Chris. Good evening and welcome.
Hello, Colin, Knight of the Canadian Rockies. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and a wonderful new year to you and all our listeners and site viewers. It's a great season, isn't it?
Oh, it's a fabulous season. You know, I can't believe that it's been a year already on Blog Talk Radio. You know, I remember the private show tests. Some of them are horrible. I mean, some of them are bad. I hope to God they're not in archives. But we got there, and look at us now, huh?
Oh, yes, and we've had some great experiences, talked to wonderful people, heard some extreme experiences and encounters, and I've loved every minute of it.
Oh, it's definitely been a journey, I got to tell you. You know, that the hairs on my arms probably are famous by now, because when they start to, you know, when they start to twitch and twitter, then I can pretty well be assured that something just isn't right, and I get real uptight, and it's become pretty famous, but wow, some great stories out there.
Yeah, we certainly did, and wonderful guests, and I've interviewed terrific people who have shared really, you know, extremely intimate as far as their life experiences, their stories with us. And it's been great to get information and all that out to the public for them to use and to, you know, put back in the back of their mind and have ready in case one day, you know what I always say, the next paranormal experience might be yours.
Well, you know, my hero on radio, of course, is George Norrie over at Coast to Coast. And his famous saying is, there is no such thing as coincidence. So when we come across the stories that you and I come across, and we talk to the people that we talk to, it is pretty clear that there's some legitimacy in what's being said. I mean, it's beyond let's guess at this. There is some clear type of signal, if we could only figure out what it was.
Very true. And there are times, too, when we will talk about things on your show, or I'll write an article about something that in particular bothers me, or I'm struggling with in the paranormal, and we put it out there, and before I know it, I have hundreds of emails coming back to me, and I know you do as well, telling us we hit a nerve, that these subjects have been bothering many people. They just don't know where to vent it or share it because they're so used to being ridiculed or laughed at or, you know, the typical responses. But it's good to know that they're out there and responding to us.
I think the problem is that we don't wish to admit that we are not the grand poobah on this planet. Because, you know, if we are the most intelligent species in this universe, then most definitely we are seriously in trouble. We have not done any favors in our universe to date.
Well, as you know, the very last article I wrote before taking, you know, a little holiday break to share this time with my family and friends is that I am trying to get that very point across to the public, Colin. I think that we are, like, really on the bottom rung of the ladder of universal civilizations, and that the biggest problem we have is not recognizing that and accepting that. And we put far too much reasoning or too many theories in places that, in my mind, just don't sit well as to why we haven't had disclosure or better public knowledge of alien encounters and so forth and so on, and go always turn around and blame the government or blame something on Earth for the reason that the masses do not know the full story as far as disclosure of aliens and UFOs. My theory is...
Probably would never know the full story.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know, and this is from
35 years of talking to not only just my own experiences, but talking to people with really solid experiences that you don't read about or hear about because the people are so frightened and really keep it to themselves. But I have been fortunate enough to have talked to many people like this, and our joint reaction is it's the aliens that prefer it to be as it is, as far as the public and the masses knowing what they do or don't know concerning aliens and UFOs. The aliens are in no rush to deal with us in that huge of an aspect because we are not ready. We are not ready. We are not impressive. We are violent, killing, hateful, and whether that's accepted or not, or you hate me or not for saying that, that is the truth about the nature of the human species. And there is no rush to have us join their club, I tell you.
We are definitely a wall-like species. I mean, there's no doubt about that. We still have not found other ways of dealing with life other than beating somebody about the head and shoulders with a club. So, you know, we've been really fortunate this year, I think, with a lot of great guests, many of them you've written about, and others that have fallen into our lap through the archives and what have you. And, you know, they've helped me catch up to speed on some very important issues. One of the shows that I did was with some ladies out of New Jersey, as a matter of fact, the South Jersey Ghost Research Group. And I have to tell you, they started that fear factor in me. You finished it off with the reptile story, but they started it.
I think the most unnerving thing that I hit recently, first I want to say most times we go out, if you are frightened, it's not because there's something there that's necessarily scary. It's because you're startled, you know. So if you're down in a quiet, dark basement and suddenly the furnace kicks on, you jump, you know. So 9 times out of 10, when we're frightened, it's more of a startle factor. But as far as something that actually I found to be frightening in the traditional sense, I recently was investigating the basement of a local Civil War museum, and I was down there with another investigator, and she and I were down one end of this basement. And from between us and the door, we suddenly heard this loud breathing. And there was no one else down there. And this breathing got progressively louder. And it continued for 2 solid minutes.
I tell you, if that would have been me, I think I would make a great investigator if I would be allowed to wear adult depends.
And I'll tell you, it was scary, but because we've been doing this long enough, we know, first of all, it's not going to hurt you. Secondly, you're going to get great evidence. So while we were nervous, we were standing closer together than we usually were. We both had our EMF detectors out. We were taking pictures. We had the voice recorder. We were asking questions. I mean, we were really gathering evidence while we were still, you know, the knees were knocking just a little bit. And it, like I said, there was nothing there to hurt us. The breathing ended after 2 solid minutes that seemed to feel like 20 minutes. And we were able to proceed to the door.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
2 minutes would seem like hours.
Yes.
Under those conditions.
Exactly.
You must have been running. Eileen, how about yourself? Was there any investigation that you did that kind of gave you a little shake on the inside?
Yes, there was, actually. I'm listening to Roz, and I'm recalling a moment in a basement as well. It was a private home and here in New Jersey. And, you know, basements can be creepy anyway, but we investigate in the pitch dark, and luckily we're always with someone. We are never alone. I know that on some TV shows you'll see investigators going off on their own, but we never do that for obvious reasons.
No. In fact, I'm even questioning whether I'd go there without a gun or something.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that because sometimes, well, in this particular instance, I was in a basement, and we actually could see and hear and feel a male spirit coming closer and closer, and he put his face in my face to intimidate me. But, yeah, and that was unnerving. But, you know, those are the golden moments. Those are the, like Roz said, that's when we have our cameras out, and that's when I'm turning on my recorder to do EVP work. And it's almost like that, what soldiers talk about, being in it, when there is fear, but your training takes over.
I can understand. Yeah, I can understand.
Right.
But
yeah.
I get.
All information provided in my Terror Chat radio program is the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the owner or its agency. Although Terror Chat takes all precautions to provide quality information, Terror Chat assumes no responsibility or liability for the legitimacy of information provided by guest opinions or statements. You're in the night zone with the Colin Knights.
And the last time you were on, Chris, you teased us with the cops and savior story. I went and, of course, had to read it, did read it, loved it. And I just completed reading What Are Aliens Waiting For, which you mentioned earlier. The Answer, My Resolution for 2009. Pretty impressive.
Oh, thank you. And I'm very serious about that article, and I'm going to follow that vein of thinking through 2009. It's my determination. And I wanted to get back to that, too, because I want to clear, before people send me hundreds of emails, that I do believe, you don't have to argue with me on this point, because I believe as you do, the governments of this world do know about aliens and unidentified flying objects and all this. They're fully aware of it. They do not bring it out. But my point is, why? It isn't the government's choice. My true belief and understanding is it's the aliens' choice. They do not want their presence disclosed. And I think if you think about who would probably be the most technically advanced and stronger force there in that decision, you're going to go with what the aliens want. The way it is, they can come and go as they please, right under our noses, do whatever they want, take whatever they want, put back whatever they want, and we just go along with it. That's the way they like it, that's the way we seem to like it, and that's what the governments are working with. So I just want that perfectly clear. I do believe governments know.
And I do believe the governments know a heck of a lot more than we know. I'm just not sure what it is or to what depth it goes and, you know, how strong or how solid their cover-ups are and for why.
And I don't think it's their choice. I truly
believe it's
their choice. I think they kind
I had one of your co-writers or one of your writer friends on a couple of weeks back, and he's been a fairly good regular, Paul Dale Roberts. Paul's first show with me, talk about Out of the Mouths of Babes, not knowing this man from Adam. Let me play you a little bit of how he unloaded on me and kind of spun my world around as to where I thought I was taking the interview.
Is I joined the U.S. Army. Well, actually, I was in the Army from 73 to 76, and I was in the Army from 79 to 86. In 79 to 86, I was a 97 Bravo, which is an intelligence analyst with military intelligence at the PICK, which is the Photo Interpretation Center in Korea. And I worked with image interpreters. And most of the photographs, the aerial photographs that we saw from reconnaissance aircraft and satellites was of North Korea and Red China. But it was one day, it was a very spectacular day for me, that six photographs came in. And these photographs were part of a video series of satellite video. And each picture represented each video. And what was really unusual is these six photographs were of UFOs. And the UFOs on the photographs, they were saying intelligent movement. So that made them into what the military intelligence considered as unidentified flying objects.
Mm-hmm. Now, that was amazing to me. He just unloaded this on me. I hadn't even anticipated in going in that direction. And Paul Dale Roberts, I tell you, Chris, he continues to do that to me. Every time we interview, the man is so full of information.
Paul, he is a favorite of mine. I adore Paul Dale Roberts. I think he is an interesting, great guest. And as a fellow writer, I just love him. And I hope that you're able to have him come back many, many times in 2009 and talk more about those things. I know that Paul himself has had sightings of UFOs, and he knows of what he speaks. So he's definitely someone that people should listen to and not just fluff over. That was just a huge bomb he dropped. He clearly and just informed us all that the government is surely aware of and has full knowledge of unidentified flying objects that are not man-made. And it just, you know, it's amazing that you didn't receive 1,000 emails saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. Is that true what that man just said? Because that's an amazing statement. But I find between Dale and I and this show, many amazing statements being dropped carefully to the public that just go unnoticed. And I am also, for the next year, trying to figure out why. What's that unnoticed part about? Now, when someone tells you something enormous that should be life-changing for you, why is it just, oh, yeah, and I like the color red and the color blue, and, you know, chocolate's my favorite ice cream. It doesn't belong in that type of blasé acceptance.
Right.
These are major things that are being said, and I just wish that our public, our masses, we become more interested, because in their lifetime, I believe all these things are going to be relevant to each and every one of them and their family members and everyone they know. So they need to start to educate themselves and become familiar with it, starting yesterday. So let's face it, that's why you and I do what we do.
That's why we do what we do. I love interviewing because it teaches me. I wasn't quite sure on EVPs, the electronic voice prints that people are picking up and how they were doing it. I was confused as to what they were. And we were lucky enough to have the Para Group. They came to us, and let's listen to what they said about EVPs and the actual ghost words that people hear in house. And tonight we're speaking with Mark Davis and Frank Cassidy of the Philadelphia Area Research and Assistance Group, the Para Group, regarding the paranormal events as they have come across them in their lifetime. And Mark, as we were speaking just before the break, having those good feelings of things you're capable of doing for the people that are remaining on Earth, waiting to transcend whatever it is we are supposed to transcend. I was reading an article the other day, I think it was one of those scientist wacky monthlies or whatever, but they believe that the concrete walls of buildings may contain some kind of a residual sound from conversations or events. This must make the CIA orgasmic. Is there any kind of relevance to this?
Well, think of it in this terms. Audio tape and videotape are basically rusted metal on a medium, and that's what you record upon. So a building is constructed of a lot of composites that have iron ore or lime or something along those lines, which can be used as a recording medium. So there is a lot of validity to that. It's what we would refer to as a residual haunting, and it's definitely an aspect that's out there and we do deal with.
You tend to also look at the structure of the building, how certain woods can do certain sounds at certain times, and the creaks and groans of an old house are comforting once you know what they are.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm actually mechanical engineering, HVAC.
Okay.
What that is I deal with the temperatures is what I bring into when I do this on the paranormal side. And as you know, temperature swings cause things to contract and expand, and that's a lot of the creaking and cracking.
Exactly, is an EVP. I've listened to some, and I've heard something there, but honestly, you know, I kind of get the urge to talk about backmasking in the old radio days. So what exactly is an EVP?
Well, EVP stands for electronic voice phenomenon, and basically it's a disembodied voice imprinted onto a recording medium. And what we try to do is it's a voice that you do not hear as you're sitting there. You're sitting there, you're asking questions, you have your recording device on, and when you go back and review it, you may sometimes turn around and pick up a voice that was in the room with you at the time. And sometimes they answer your questions directly.
Oh, that just must... Oh, no, 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 no. Get the depends. No, 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 no. they can't do that. No, no.
The residual haunting is the building holding on to an image or a sound and releasing that image or sound. And the best way to describe that is it's the same thing at the same time over and over again. You cannot interact with it. It cannot interact with you. And you can just sit back and watch it just like a video. But where you get direct answers from spirits happen quite often. They're one of the most known part of the paranormal field. You go out on the internet, you can find many sites dealing with EVPs, as well as many people that sit around and just record EVPs on their own.
I mean, that's pretty impressive that Mark would come up with that kind of information, Chris, regarding EVPs. But, you know, seriously, the CIA would have a field day if they could just tap into the wall of some building and download the conversations. Wow.
Well, I'm sure that they're trying or have tried or will try, but my guess would be is trying, actively trying, if not doing it. Who knows, you know, what's being done in that's not, you know, public. You're also in an area, you say you have things that frighten you, that you're uncomfortable with, not frightened as much as uncomfortable. Well, the whole ghost area of the paranormal is something I'm uncomfortable with, and the reason is I don't have the background, I don't have the knowledge, the experience to deal with it, and I, for one, think you do need to have some type of background in what you're investigating. Be familiar with it somehow. Do know that I have a science background, and I am a UFO person, an alien person. That's my place of comfort and the place I have the most background information and knowledge of. But the ghost things frighten me very much because I don't have it. So I would have to go with those who do understand all of that situation. And also, please, warn those listening to us, and I warn people when I write, if you are not familiar with and do not have the background needed to do some of these investigations, don't do them. Don't do them alone. Go find a group or you know, the people who are experienced and do it with them, because I do think that they can be dangerous and that you do need to be careful. I'm going to tell you something. I usually always write an article and then we talk about it. If you would, tonight I would like to tell you an article that I haven't written about, give you some information on this story first, and then I'll write about it in the new year. It's a follow-up on this.
Okay, but hold on a second. Let me do a quick break,
okay,
and then we'll have a clean time to be able to tell your story. So.
Great.
Hi, this is Chris Holly from Endless Journey and the Night Zone. Find out about the abduction of two people in New York who were simply trying to drive home, or the alien bloodletting rituals of the Mayans. Find out what happened to investigators on the infamous Mount Misery Road, or their encounter at the deserted Kings Park Mental Institution. Decide if the reptile hiding in the teenager's room was from this world or beyond. Watch for the ghostly experience of the New York City policeman. And then tune in to Terror Chat The Night Zone, hosted by Colin Knight on Blog Talk Radio. Watch and listen as Colin interviews those who live the stories we write about, plus many other great guests. Visit Endless Journey The Night Zone and listen to our show while browsing our articles. Just Google Chris Holly, Endless Journey, or Blog Talks, Tarot Chats, The Night Zone. See you there if you dare.
You're in the Night Zone with the Calling Nights.
Things that go bump in the night. Have you ever had those moments where you know something like that? Have you ever had those times where you think you see a flash of a person or a shadow? You delve into the inner sanctum of paranormal activities. Paranormal at its best with some of the brightest and the best investigators in North America. Come with us on a journey, possibly an enlightenment.
Coming soon. Watch for the listings.
In the Night Zone, we'd like to know what you think. So we open the phone lines each live session, and tonight is no different.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
If you are a registered listener, you can come to our virtual studio by clicking the chat button on the Terror Chat Blog Talk page and just click on the Talk to Host button.
347-324-3287. Call in now. 347-324-3287. All background music and bumps heard on TerrorChat can be found at GarageBand.com. Support your local artists.
Things that go bump in the night. Have you ever had those moments? Paranormal at its best. Come with us on a journey.
Coming soon. Watch for the listings. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Or in the Night Zone. Your host, Colin Knight.
I want you to get a snowstorm sound effect. So I told Hans before he headed off for his mini vacation over Christmas to find me a snowstorm sound effect. And of course, he couldn't, because snow doesn't make a noise. The wind makes a noise, but is it the same kind of noise as snow compared to rain? I don't think so. So there is no snow sound effects, Chris. So we're going to have to ho, 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 merry, merry, with a great deal of imagination.
Well, you know, I have snow here. I could have just went outside for us all and stood there.
Oh.
And I think the sound of snow is silence.
I got snow for you here. Here in Calgary, Alberta, tonight, currently the temperature is minus 21 degrees Celsius.
Oh.
We're heading down to minus 23 Celsius tonight. But the good news is, on Tuesday, the high will be minus 16. And on Wednesday, they're looking for a balmy minus 13 degrees Celsius. So it looks like we're coming out of this Siberian Express trough. But it's going to be a few more days before it gets over and clears you up. Probably into the new year, you will probably see the release of this Siberian Express, Chris.
Yeah, it looks that way. But it does make for a white Christmas. You have to be positive about it.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Anyhow, you were going to tell me this story. I'm psyched. I'm ready to go. You're not going to scare me tonight.
Now,
so.
I don't like ghosts. I don't like those investigations. However, I did do that Mount Misery and Kings Park deserted mental institution grounds investigation, and wrote those articles, and I was done.
Right.
It was not a good experience for me. It was uncomfortable. It was frightening, and I didn't know what to do. I then was in contact with a group of students from a large university here who are putting together, and then they're all science students, and they're in the later part of their college courses. They were like juniors and seniors, so they have some science background. And they may do this investigation that I'm going to tell you about. If they don't want to do it, I'll find a very experienced group and see if they want to have it. But the one grounds, the excuse me, Kings Park grounds is a dreary, terrible, frightening place. And when I was there, anyone that enters the grounds, which happen to be beautiful grounds overlooking the water here on Long Island, however, you get a sense of such dread and horror, you can't wait to get out of there. I also did take pictures of the buildings, and we did capture a ghost on one of them. That was enough for me. I never want to go back. However, on the road to go to this place, this Kings Park place, you go down a long, winding road through countryside before you hit how to get into this place. Along that road are very old houses. I'd say anywhere from being built in, I know, the 1600s on. It's very old. As you drive down this winding...
Houses.
What?
Like pilgrim houses. Like
well,
pilgrim
actually,
houses?
They're very big, like farmhouses or huge mansions that in their day must have been spectacular. And
so like manor houses. Then.
Yes, exactly. Now, as you ride down this road, you also get a feeling of, like, dread. Even before you hit the grounds or enter where the mental institution used to stand. It's just an uncomfortable place, and you can't put your finger on it. Years ago,
I've sent something like that at a site for a concentration camp in Germany. And nothing grows. There is no birds, no sounds.
It's terrible.
I've also
visited those places in Germany, and you're right, it's very similar. So I'm driving down this road over the years I've lived in the area, because it's where the area I live is located also. And years ago, I took an old Irish woman who used to read cards. She was a psychic, and I was just dropping her off for a friend. And as we drove down this road, she said to me, "This is an evil place," and she didn't like it. I thought nothing of it. I just recently took the psychic that went with me to Mount Misery in Kings Park, who was not paying attention those times, to be honest with you, and was preoccupied. I drove her down this road as a shortcut to cut into another town. And she was with me, and as we drove down this road, we drove past this one plantation house. Huge house. I looked like a Georgian plantation. And she said to me that had been renovated, so it's beautiful. It looks like you just stepped back in history. And she said to me, "There's something very wrong here. There's something terrible here. This is one of the most unhappiest places I've ever known." And she continued on that as we drove past it into the hospital entrance, which I cut through to go around it, to go to a shortcut to another town, and complained the entire time. On the way home, she did the same exact thing, except this time, she was actually frightened of that old house. So I went home, and she went her way, and I decided that this is very weird. It's right outside of the Kings Park Hospital. Why is she honing in on this house? So I did some research on it, and I found out that house in the 1600s was a huge plantation with slaves. I did not know there were slaves on Long Island in the 1600s. And the slaves took and worked this enormous plantation of about 16 to 2,000 square acres of land, which encompasses that mental hospital. I now understood why the entire place is so bleak and so dark and so full of pain. I also read that the plantation owner was not particularly kind to his slaves, and in fact, there were still slave quarters on the property that had been renovated, but they're all still standing. I knew at once that may have been the turning point of why the Kings Park land is so terribly bleak. Not only was it a place of lost souls, heartbreak, and death as the hospital, but before that, it was a cruel plantation of slaves. So it is obvious we need to send a team in there to figure out what's going on, because the place, frankly, is a terrible downer. And it's gone. It was never connected before. I finally realized what's going on in that area. So that's a big thing we're going to be working on. And I don't know what they're going to do.
It sounds fascinating. I want to hear some EVPs from there or some of those.
That's why a trained team needs to go in there.
Yeah.
And both psychics told me that the area, the wooded area, which is enormous around both of these places, is just filled with, how they both said it to me, corpses that have just, you know, were murdered and thrown there. So I think there's a tremendous story in that area, and it needs to be investigated. So that's very
good. I'm looking forward to reading the story and hopefully getting some of those EVPs. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
I remember a Christmas back when I was a boy. Round about the time I was outgrowing toys. Mom was so happy she had gotten a stable. Dad was content we had just gotten cable. I was sure something special was waiting for me. Wrapped up in the box beneath the Christmas tree. Was it a catcher's mitt or a model rocket? No, it was a fishing pole that I could stick in my pocket. This was only the beginning of a terrible trend. I keep getting worthless gifts again and again. Three encyclopedic books, all volume 8. Slim Wilson's greatest hits on 8-track tape. They claimed was second to none. It sliced, it diced, it nearly chopped all my thumb. What makes these people think I'd even want this garbage? All in all, I'd rather have a partridge. I was afraid I was gonna have to build new shelves just to store all the stuff I'd never buy for myself. But I refused to be given the county dump. All of my hard-earned money to dispose of the junk. Like me and dream of retribution. Pay close attention, I've got a solution. Cause if you're wondering what you're gonna do with that crap, wait a couple of years and then give it back. With all the money you save returning all their debris, you can buy them all a copy of our CD. Call 1-800-617-7372 and happy returns to you. Are you afraid that you're gonna have to build new shelves just to store all the stuff you never buy for yourself? Do you refuse to be given the county dump? All of your hard-earned money to dispose of the junk. If you like me and dream of retribution, pay close attention, I've got a solution. Cause if you're wondering what you're gonna do with that crap, just wait a couple of years and then give it back. If you're wondering what you're gonna do with that crap, give it back.
Welcome, girls and boys, moms and dads, all over the world to the Santa Claus Show, heard worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. Santa is taking calls from girls and boys, and parents, too, from all over the world. If you would like to call in, Santa will be talking to special guests, sometimes discuss the latest toys, and always talking with his very special guests, you girls and boys. You can talk to Santa by calling during the show each week. Wait a minute. What's that noise? I hear sleigh bells! And that means that Santa Claus has arrived! Hello, Santa Claus!
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas to you too, Santa. And just come to blogtalkradio.com and in the search engine, type Santa. for Santa's very special show.
Here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus.
Ho, 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 Merry Christmas!
And I haven't said yet, Chris, but definitely Merry Christmas, season's greetings to you. This will be the last show before Christmas.
Yes, I know. And I'm hoping that Santa is on his way to us all.
I hope he is, too.
Leave out those cookies, everyone.
You know, I had an email. Now, a lot of people say, you don't get these kind of emails. I have good and bad emails. We'll go to the good emails for a change, because I'm tired of the bad stuff. But I have received a lot of email regarding my statements about pagan worship for the winter solstice. And some suggested that my statement was actually blasphemy, because I equated pagans with Christian Christmas. And I was somewhat taken aback by that. How crazy is that? How crazy can these people not understand that?
Well, I think it's just a lack of education and history knowledge. The Yule season is where we, I think, took the dates to, practice our worship of Christ and our Christian faith. Well, mm-hmm. I do believe that the dates of Christ's birth and death are not quite as we have them. They're a bit off. But in my mind, it doesn't make any difference as long as if you are a Christian, you know, worship or have your family traditions or do whatever you want at that time. I think it's a very holy season, not just for your religious beliefs, but for your family life, being a human being in love, you know. It's very important.
Yeah. For
blasphemy, I don't understand, because Yule was celebrated before Christmas, and the reason the church picked those dates was to get the people more comfortable with conforming with this new Christianity. But as I said, you have to have a bit of a, you know, history background to understand things before you immediately get angry. You can't pick a story in the middle and decide that it's absolutely factual from that point on. You have to start at the beginning and read the whole story before you can, you know, make a book report on it.
I think people don't do that, right? It is almost common knowledge, I would think, through the teachings of history, that the Christian sect and the pagan worship were almost merged in order for Christians to be able to accept and pagans to accept Christians. There was a merging of minds that created what we know as Christianity today. Christianity is not a pure creation from conception.
Absolutely. And as I said, it's like even political beliefs. You have to start at the beginning of a situation and follow it through before you can figure out the end. You can't read chapter 10 in a book and decide you know everything that's in the book. You have to read the whole thing. So that's, I think, where a statement like that would come from. I'm not going to be cruel. I'm just going to say the lack of knowledge on that subject completely.
Yeah. I had a really good email from Marine from Gibraltar, and her question was this: what if Santa was a dimensional shapeshifter? What would explain his if Santa was a dimensional shapeshifter that would explain his ability to get around the world in time to deliver all the presents? What if the North Pole home is cloaked invisible by UFO technology, and reindeer are actually not of this world and are used to heavy gravity, allowing them to fly like Superman, and she's 12 years old?
Well,
I thought that was pretty special.
I do too, but at 12, I think that's a little heavy for her. She should just stick with the regular Santa story. But I don't think you even have to be a shape-shifting, multi-dimensional creature. I think if an alien can get here from another point in the universe, spinning around our planet real fast at night wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, I would think so. If they can traverse the Van Allen, the radiation belts around the Earth.
Right, Van Allen.
They can, yeah, if they can traverse those without any form of damage, then they're already far superior than anything that we can do. Even though we travel through them at times, they're, you know, it's a hit and miss whether you get through or not. It's not good science.
Well, they may use the ocean also. They may zip through the oceans like perhaps they fold space. Well, maybe they just zip through the water and show up wherever they want, no matter, you know, what they're doing in a matter of minutes. We don't understand it, and that's all we need to understand is the fact that we don't have a clue. We are absolutely nowhere close to that kind of technology, unless, of course, they give it to us. But on our own, we have miles to go.
But I was absolutely amazed with Amy and her knowledge of life science, of metaphysics and Mother Earth through her pagan philosophies. I was very impressed with her on the IVP, the Internet, the IPV, the Internet Psychic Vampire. She made that pretty darn clear.
Yes, yes. Amy is a very bright woman. She's wonderful to talk to. She's a good person, and she believes in a creator and all good things, yet people seem to be very wary of her, and again, you need to read the entire book before you make a decision on what it's about. So that was a very interesting segment on that situation, and I know we both have had problems with it since.
Oh, absolutely. But luckily enough, so far the various servers that have had problems, their security departments have backed it up something pretty impressive. But I think Amy, when she hit it on the head, I think we felt the vibration.
I think that those who actively go into chat rooms as PsyVamps really do go in there with a purpose. Because, as I said, they enjoy the rush of the energy that they get when they... And the thing is if you've been attacked by one in the past and you do not learn to shield and protect yourself from that kind of attack, then it's like you're a walking buffet table for them. It's like blood in the water for a shark. You know, they come back after you, you know, and they intentionally stir you up so that they can... up the level of energy. And so, yeah, I think that the ones that we meet, you know, sometimes, and there are some that come in the room and, you know, they are just negative people. That's all there is. And they don't understand that they're draining the room. But the PsyVamps themselves, yes, they actively seek out their prey. Well, there are some that travel in groups, yeah. If you'll notice in some of the chat.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing, the information that Amy brought forward. I was absolutely fascinated by that. And we're going to have to talk to her again. I'm looking forward to 2009, Chris. And believe it or not, we burnt through almost another hour here.
Wow, that was very quick. Yeah, 2009 is going to be wonderful. I have huge UFO stories and alien stories that will come out in the new year that I hope everyone will be paying attention to. Because in my mind, for me, they were life-changing. And I think if everyone pays attention, they're going to get quite an education. So I'm really looking forward to 2009.
So do you have a favorite story from 2008 with a couple of minutes left remaining?
Well, I think the most reactions I got, the most emails were, believe it or not, about the blackout in New York in 1965. It turns out hundreds and hundreds of people had UFO sightings and alien sightings that day. The reptile man that tried to kill me as a teenager really made a lot of people unhappy and nervous.
Made me unhappy, I know that. Made me darn unhappy.
And also the chemtrails. I received hundreds and hundreds of emails that people around the world are now becoming quite upset about them. And I have a new article coming out in January that is, they're now black chemtrails. And they are terrible. So there's a lot of things we're going to be heading into, but those were the stories I got the most attention on. My favorite, of course, is always UFO stories and people who tell me simple little events and encounters like the police officer in Atlantic City who had a huge UFO fly over his head with a partner with him, and things like that. They, to me, are my favorites because they are true encounters. They are plain, they are simple, and these people are telling the truth. And you know our motto, we are protectors of the people and tellers of the truth.
Well, all we can do is bring it to the plate and bring it to the people for them to make the decision whether the information bears water or holds water or not. That is up to the people that listen to the show. They will make those decisions whether they believe our guests or whether they have their own theory. And if they have their own theory, as of course, under normal conditions, they're always allowed to call into the show and make themselves known. But with 4 minutes of the show remaining, Chris, what would you like to say for your final minute?
I just want to thank everyone for all their constant coming and reading of our stories, listening to our shows, sending their emails, and allowing us to interview them and go into the most private parts of their lives and sharing their encounters with us. They are wonderful, brave people, and we would really have a difficult time bringing all of the paranormal to us, to you, our listeners and our viewers, without these courageous people. So thank you, all our interviewees, our readers,
as we come to the end of another year's broadcasting with blogtalkradio.com. We've come a long way. I've met a lot of interesting people, and I'd like to thank all of those guests that have made it to the show and have given me the opportunity to speak with them. Some fabulous people. Check the archives for some of the listings. It's an amazing site. An amazing chronology of events. So check out the site, check out the archives. But to all of our loyal listeners, thank you very much. We appreciate your input, we appreciate your love, and we appreciate the fact that you have joined our family to listen to Terror Chat Thinking Outside of the Box. And we especially thank all of those night zoners out there. No matter where you are, what continent you are on, or when you download our program, we appreciate you being there. We truly do. May Terror Chat, the Night Zone, wish all of you many blessings upon your household during these festive times. And as my father always used to say as his last words before I went to bed as a child,
God bless.
Hey guys, got a minute? I'm sure we all have friends that are having tough times, either financially or in their marriage or in their general relationships in life. But for the grace of God go I. Well, I have friends like that. As they look to me for advice, I look to the heavens for some form of divine inspiration so I can please the masses, I guess. And it doesn't always happen. So what I would like to say to you tonight is, if you have friends, embrace them. If you have loved ones, cherish them. If you have acquaintances, respect them. And if you have love, show them. God bless you all. Good night.